Welcome back to the Mad Hopper Podcast.
Good evening.
Got Drew and Bryn here. Looking forward to, sorry for the delay, but we're back at it and we're excited to be putting out some more content. Thanks for all the feedback. I know we got feedback from people who have listened. So thank you for following along. Make sure to send us your questions, your reviews, hate mail. We love hate mail.
Yeah, and tell your friends.
Yes, tell your friends. Spread the word, themadhopper@gmail.com. Themadhopper@gmail.com. So really excited. We're going to try to bring you local news, things that are happening in the craft brew scene, and in particular in the tri-state area. So if you've been following along, if you're hunting for good beer, if you're just looking for education around craft brew, this is your place to get it.
So. Yeah, opinions also. And the beautiful thing you have to remember about beer is we don't judge what you're drinking, because the best beer you ever have is the one that is in your hand.
Judgment-free zone.
Yes.
Love it. Judgment-free 100%. Zone. So we're going to go ahead and crack open a beer drinking that we're drinking tonight, the Nod Hill Geo Bunny. So going to go ahead
but
and
get this. But it is the second iteration of the Geo Bunny, correct?
That is correct, right. So the first iteration, we were actually looking at it.
We're trying to find the info on it here.
Yeah.
To be detailed as far as the hops and the yeast and whatnot. But
so we believe they changed the hops in this next iteration of Geo Bunny. Is that correct?
I think what they're doing is they're just doing what you're starting to see a lot is they're just cycling in different combinations of things.
You can already smell from here. It's so classic Nod Hill. You know, it's overdone.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
You know, it's got that a little bit of that funk on the end of the nose.
It's great, but not quite Ken Falls funk.
Yes, exactly.
It's not that. It's not a yeast farmhouse funk. It is, but that also that just smells like.
It's almost like a melon. You know, if you open up a cantaloupe. Or a melon, and you let it sit for a little bit. Not quite, and this
like
is in a good way, like a honeydew.
Yeah.
Not that it's rotting, but it's a little bit on the ripe side. Maybe it was in the fridge for a little bit. You pulled it out.
That smells like your kitchen's going to get fruit flies in June.
Yes!
That's what it smells like.
100%.
It smells
exactly
like your fruit's in the,
like.
In the fruit basket on the table there, and you're going to walk in and be like, where did all these freaking fruit flies come from?
Yeah.
That's what I get out of it. But
yeah.
It's bready, too. You definitely have that little bit of bread. Ready yeast. Go ahead, take a sip of that guy. Let's
give
see
a little
what we're
bit
tasting
of it,
here.
Nice. So it's got that typical IPA bite on the front end when you first hit it, but then it's very smooth. And that's what I was going to say. This one in comparison to their other Geo Bunny and their Supermanis is a lot smoother. It's got that fruit flavor, that kind of mature fruit flavor that rolls through your mouth.
Yeah, they've definitely mastered, as far as I'm concerned, and they're not the only ones that have mastered this, but they're in that group of beers that have mastered the ability to transition flavor very well.
Yeah.
So it goes from that initial to that mid to that finish without seams.
Yeah.
It's very smooth. The Geo Bunny is one of those beers, I think, that a lot of people will say, for being as full-bodied and full-flavored as it is, there's very little alcohol burn on the backside.
Yeah. No, there is very little. If anything, on the back end, I would say maybe a little bit of a wood. I still haven't quite nailed down what that Nod Hill is. But, again, we're drinking the Geo Bunny. It's an IPA, dry-hopped with Citra and Amarillo hops, unfiltered. Just a great beer, 6.5 alcohol by volume. Just a great job, another great brew for Nod Hill right down the street.
Yeah, readily available. The thing is what I was excited to see about this was if they're doing this with Geo Bunny now.
Yeah.
To me, that's like this isn't the only time we're going to see this. Mm-hmm. They're going to probably cycle in. You know, cycle in other hop varieties, other, I don't know, maybe they'll go down the other malt route. I'm
right.
Not sure what they're going to do, but this is their flagship.
Right.
Between this and Supermantis, that's what they've built their original reputation on.
Yeah.
As we read on their, on one of the descriptions, this beer was one of the starters, if you will, for a lot of their other beers.
Right.
So they basically get
kind of like their foundation. How does that work? Do they actually is it just the ingredient or the way the process of creating it is the foundation for the other beer? Or?
So not ever brewing on, I don't know if it's hard to call commercial when it's so mom and pop small, yeah. But I've never brewed on a commercial level. How I read that is, let's look at bourbon or any sort of alcohol, any sort of whiskey.
Yeah.
Most all whiskeys start in the same regard, right? They start as ethanol and your base alcohol that then, okay, if we're going scotch, we're going to now add peat and put it in this kind of barrel. If we're going to make bourbon, we're going to go in this kind of barrel, but there's going to be no peat.
Got it.
So the way I read that is that this is a blueprint.
Yeah.
And now we're going to build off of this blueprint.
Right.
Because we know we've nailed the blueprint.
Right.
Right?
This is a good, solid beer. So, and then we can...
You know, and it might be a very solid, basic beer with one kind of hop or one combination of hops that you know you nail. So now to start up the next version of it or to, before you're going to double when you're adding more malt or whatnot, we know our formula to get to point A,
right?
But now let's make it point A plus one.
Or nice.
Point A. You know what I mean? That's how I see it. There's probably a lot more science and
right
and engineering that goes into it aside from that.
Right.
But that I'm much stronger on the drinking side than the brewing side.
Right.
So
I love it. I love it. So I thought in this show we can cover a couple of topics, but the first thing I want to do is just any type of beer news that maybe is going on out there. I know I came across an article, or I say an article, but it's obviously all over the press right now. The government shutdown and its impact on craft brew.
I read an article on that as well.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So I had no idea that the government shutdown was impacting the ability for breweries to be able to label or to put out new beer.
So that's the big thing that's funny. And that's more on a state-by-state basis.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but there's always some sort of hand-holding with a federal level, which is why we're starting to feel the effects now. Right. I remember a couple years back, perfect example, you know, that once-a-year Black Friday release of Bourbon County Brand Stout.
Yeah.
You could get it in New York, but you couldn't get it in Connecticut on Black Friday.
Interesting.
You couldn't get it on Black Friday in Connecticut because the government in Connecticut... whatever department handles that.
I think it's the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. At least that's the one I read.
So they had not released the approval for the label.
Yes. So it's all about these labels.
Yeah, it's so the way it seems is that now I don't know. See, to me, I almost feel like the way, like when you have places like Nod Hill, Reading Beer Company, Broken Symmetry, when you're making your own beers and you're brewing at that level and that quantity, I don't know if you have involvement in them.
Yeah.
I think that it starts to become a government involved practice when you hit a certain amount of quantity. I'd have to imagine.
Interesting.
Because these guys are dropping beers whenever the hell they want.
So I think it's got something to do with new releases. So I saw, I think it was up in Kent Falls, that they weren't labeling. They were pouring at the brewery. But it's the actual, the license and label approval for new beers is what's being held up. So, for example, up in Kent Falls, I believe it was on their Instagram account, they were saying, listen, we have this great new beer. They're putting it in, like, unlabeled bottles, and it's only for consumption at the brewery because they can't get the labels and the licenses
They can put it on tap.
Yes. So, and again, I don't know all the rules, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't, again, the intricate details I don't understand, but when you have a partial government shutdown or, you know, whatever actually is going on short of what we're seeing on TV being blown out of proportion, it is one of these things that it doesn't, I don't think it has to do necessarily with new releases because Bourbon County Brand Stout's been coming out since the early 2000s.
Right.
It's not a different beer. It's a different vintage.
Yeah.
Right? Just like wine. So they're not releasing a new beer. They're releasing almost like a new model line.
Yeah.
So it's still the same thing. The only difference in the label is the alcohol percentage and the year. That's it.
Do they still release that beer on Black Friday every year?
And so Goose Island was originally run by two brothers that started it in Chicago.
Interesting.
They ended up selling out, I want to say, like the majority of Goose Island to InBev.
Yep.
Which is owned by Anheuser-Busch, which is also owned... InBev owns Anheuser-Busch. InBev is, I believe, a Japanese country company.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I've read about Goose Island that's still legit by the two brothers are their specialty releases.
Okay, got it.
So they're the ones that are still brewing into a couple people over the years that have worked in different breweries and different stores, and I ran into two particular guys that worked at the brewery in Goose Island.
Yeah.
And when they sold out to InBev, they clear-cutted the entire place.
That's insane.
So they were quite bitter, and it was the same stores where it was like, do you have Bourbon County Brand Stout? And they were like, I'm not carrying that shit in here. You know, right. They were bitter about the breakup, if you will, of Goose Island.
The sellout.
Yeah. But the shutdown is definitely affecting, I think, a lot of smaller breweries than anything else. Your powerhouse breweries?
Yeah.
I just don't, I think they have... Well, one, they have the dollars to push through what they need to push through when they have to push it through. And I think they have more control, whether it's being on the craft beer guild,
whatever they're doing.
But the lower level guys that maybe are a step above not. I don't even think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like there's different rules for when it's sold commercially out of just a brewery versus out of retail.
Yeah.
I think when you go into retail is when the label thing is where the problem's coming.
Gotcha.
Hence why you can have smaller breweries that are releasing, because that's the only logic that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
When you have Nod Hill in the last 2 weeks since the government shutdown's been gone, have released two or three beers.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense that they're, how are they getting around?
Right, like, exactly. You know?
So it tells me that when you're doing it from a brewery only perspective, you fall underneath that same kind of way if you're buying it at a restaurant versus buying it at a package store.
Right.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I the details on those rules I don't know of.
Yeah.
But I saw a news story on TV about, I don't know what brewery it was, but they had a bunch of labels and beers that were just sitting in their warehouse.
Yeah.
In bottles.
Right.
Couldn't do anything with them.
Waiting for distribution.
Sitting on product. And I imagine the frustration that comes with that. It's funny when you think about it, I bet you there's a handful of people that are like, government shutdown, stupid. And they're just like, yeah, let's go get a 4-pack. And they're like, what? I can't get
a 4-pack. Get this government back. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, what's your connection to the government shutdown?
I can't get my double IPA.
I can't get my bombers of coffee stout, you know?
Exactly.
I'm curious to see how that works. But if it's big enough to make, I mean, with as prominent as craft beer is in the media and the news scene today, it's not a shock that they're doing
it. It was funny to see those pop up. Anything else happened in the beer scene that you've been
on the big scene? I think that's pretty much the forefront of what's going on.
Yeah, that's been the big one.
I mean, there's not a whole ton of drama going on. I don't know how. You see, we're talking mostly about the tri-state area here.
Yeah.
So the national news that I've seen.
Yeah.
In our neck of the woods here is pretty much what you just...
Yeah.
That story there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought we'd also take a moment to talk about this time of the year and this season, what people are drinking, right? So you kind of get outside of the Christmas season where maybe people were sitting and drinking porters or, other type of seasonal beers. And what do you get into? I mean, you know, the first thing that kind of popped into my mind, and maybe we're not there yet, but hopefully we're getting more towards that Sam Adam Cold Snap.
Like the spring ales.
Right, almost like a spring. It might be a little early, but, what are some things that you've seen out there that people are drinking this time of the year?
So what I if you look at the calendar of the seasons in relation to the beers, you know, let's just start at the beginning. You know, if you're starting in January, look, I'm not even going to start in January. Let's start in September, just for argument's sake here. The end of the summer finishes up. You're coming into September, October. Nowadays, you're getting Oktoberfest that are released at the end of August.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They were traditionally like the September, October beers.
Yep.
Then you'd roll right into Christmas where you're getting a lot of your spiced beers.
Yep.
In between, you run into that short window of pumpkin beers that people either love or hate.
Yep.
Holiday ales, you know, Anchor makes a holiday Christmas ale that's one of the beers, Anchor Steam, I think it is, or okay. Anchor, yeah, I think it's Anchor. But they have like a holiday beer that is a darker beer. It's got the cinnamon. It's got the nutmeg.
So most of them are spiced. That's where you generally see
in the month of Christmas, or you'll get like the chocolate box.
Yeah.
Chocolate stout.
I have a hard time. I like the idea of those. I have a hard time drinking them.
They are a dessert. They're not a. You're not drinking that beer watching a game.
Yeah.
That's a beer you're getting because, hey, we're going over to my brother's house for Christmas.
Right.
And there's going to be five or six guys that are into smoking a cigar and having a beer by the fire. And that's when you drink that setup.
Yeah.
Now, between Christmas, the next time you see the style beer come out, used to be, you mentioned Cold Snap, it used to be like your Sam Adams White Ale. Where it was like
is that White Christmas?
No, no. Well, they have a White Christmas, but the White Ale was the next season beer, which
after Christmas.
Which was like
that wit beer?
It was kind of like a wit beer, like a Hoegaarden or like a Blue Moon esque.
Yeah,
that seems to be the beginning of the break from the cold and the entering of spring is like this white beer. It's a little bit heavier, but it's a lot lighter than like your IPAs and whatnot. And then when you roll into summer, in this day and age, you're getting into summer ales. You're seeing a lot of beers with grains of paradise. You're getting a lot of shandies.
Yeah.
You're getting, you know, a lot of sours or, you know, that avenue of beer. The January, February time doesn't have like, you know, they have Long Trail makes the Hibernator.
Okay.
You know, they make Double Bag. There's a couple beers. They have Winter Warmer by Harpoon.
Interesting.
So the Winter Warmer and the Winter Ale from Sam Adams, the original Sam Adams, their Winter, which is still, it's not a bad beer. It's actually a wheat beer, but it's a darker wheat beer. That was the Winter Beer by Sam. And that style of beer, the Hibernator and the Winter Ales are all these robuster, not stout, not porter. They're almost like a heavier, breadier, maybe a little bit of spiced, a little bit of higher alcohol, like warmer.
Yeah.
Like it's a beer you could go shovel the driveway and drink.
Yeah.
That, I think, has fizzled out a lot. The seasonal beers like the Sam Summer, Spring, October, and Winter, like those used to... Sam was the benchmark for that for me.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, all right, it's summertime, grabbing a pack of Sam Summer.
Right.
All right, it's Oktoberfest, go get a 12-pack of Sam
now,
October.
Now, is that kind of being displaced by the whole craft brew scene? Because you can go and you can pick up something a little more interesting.
I think it's being displaced by the craft beer scene a little because the craft beer scene, which pretty much focused on the IPA market.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing the craft Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Like Two Roads that puts out that one, or Jack's Abbey, or any of those. What I always tend to go to in those cold months, which I think a lot of people do, but, you know, you don't hear a lot about craft stout.
Right.
You know, you have stouts, you have Treehouse make Good Morning, you get like, which used to be the best beer in the, you know, number one on Beer Advocate.
Really?
Yeah. but I am, when I'm looking for a beer,
yeah,
in the cold weather, I'm going stout or porter.
Yeah.
Like, and I almost look at it like I would prefer to drink a porter if I'm eating.
Yeah.
But if I just want to fill a snifter up with like a, you know, a nightcap or three.
Right.
It's going to be a beefy stout. It's going to be like a Founder's Breakfast stout.
Okay. Yeah.
That is heavy as can be, but it is, you know, it is satisfying that need. You know, it's filling. It's got a great mouthfeel. It's got the booze to back up, you know, the chocolate and whatnot, but it's not overdone. It's in the same way that we're talking about the transition of flavors in Nod Hill with their IPA. Like, Founders is a benchmark for me for a breakfast stout.
Yeah.
Founders Breakfast is an absolutely phenomenal stout. And I'm not going to drink that in warm weather.
Right.
It's just not happening.
Yeah.
I don't think you think they release it
in warm weather. Can't.
IPA is weird because it's one of those beers where it's got the heavy alcohol.
Yeah.
So it stands up to, you know, a boozy double IPA can be nice after you shovel the driveway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But an IPA like what you're drinking right now, you could drink that after you mow the lawn.
Yeah, they're really interesting how that whole market has become pretty much You know, you can drink it anywhere. You know, I personally, if I'm going to watch a football game or if I'm going to have people over, I'm going to drink several. I try to stay away from the IPAs just because...
Well, the doubles especially.
Oh, especially the doubles. Yeah, you just don't want... But, you know, if you're sitting down, you're going to have a conversation, you're going to have someone over, you're going to have a few drinks, you can definitely go into the singles or the doubles. But I would prefer to maybe stick towards the lagers or an ale if you're going to sit and you're going to have several of them.
See, I put it... I agree with you. I put it all in the... I guess in the perspective of my, this sounds so beer douchey, forgive me people, but in the atmosphere of drinking them, right? Like, I can easily sit there and drink a solid 6% IPA and have two or three of them if, one, I'm not driving. If I'm going to sit on my couch, if I'm watching a game,
yeah.
If I'm not jumping around like a monkey watching the game, if I'm enjoying my time, I'll sip on these beers. You're not drinking them fast.
Right.
You're enjoying them.
Yeah.
You know, a stout or an IPA, as I was saying before, they're crushable.
Yeah.
If I'm doing that at a 1 o'clock game, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So when I say atmosphere, it's also timing, right? Like we have small children.
Yeah.
If you're drinking these beers starting at 1 in the afternoon, you're in bed at 6. Yeah. Like I want to go to bed. I don't want to go out after that. So it's weird in that regard because it's a very timing based thing, and I mean I'm not a big fan of drinking heavy beers early in the day.
Really, yeah.
Ever.
No.
Unless I, you know, if I'm outside shoveling all day long, which we've had here a couple times, I'm not going to get slush, but I'll start sipping on a beer while I'm working. And right. If I'm outside, I'll just stick them in the car in the snow and go about
You're
my
good
day.
To go.
But, you know, the other thing too is porters, I feel like, have more versatility than a stout does.
Yeah.
The big difference between the two, the yeast, not the malt, not the hops. But the yeast, and what the yeast does in a porter versus what it does in a stout is it takes that heaviness away.
Yeah.
So as much as a porter is heavier than an IPA, a porter generally is a lower alcohol beer.
Right.
Lower than a stout.
A stout.
From now, granted, if you're talking comparing it to Guinness, I'm talking craft level.
Yeah.
So there are some phenomenal porters that I think are very drinkable. One after another.
What are some of your favorite porters that are out there right now?
Jack's Abbey Baltic Porter is a great porter. Terrain that Nod Hill makes, great porter.
Yep, I've had the Terrain.
But there's a couple. I can't, of course, on cue here. I can't think of all of them. Black yep. Boss Porter could be. And mark my words, Black Boss Porter, I think I'm going to put a picture of this up on the Mad Hopper Instagram so people can see it.
Beautiful.
But Black Boss Porter is available almost everywhere, and it's the kind of bottle you'd look at and you'd be like,
No way in hell am I drinking that.
I'm not buying that shit. Because it's like $1.50 a bottle.
Yeah.
They're big bottles. And I will tell you that for $1.50 a bottle,
yeah.
Here's the problem with this is... it's a 9.4.
Okay, yeah. So
you can drink five of them. You wouldn't know it's a 9.4.
Really?
That's how well and how light and how crisp it is.
Now, who is that out? Is it Black Boss? Is that the brewery?
Black Boss Porter is by, I think they are brewed out of, yes, Poland. They're Boss Brower Witnica SA, which is in Poland. There's not really much more information on it as far as the brewery goes. But,
yeah.
But it is dollar for dollar one of my favorite porters to buy.
That's phenomenal.
Am I buying it and drinking five of them?
Right.
No.
No.
If I'm out in my driveway chipping ice and shoveling snow,
yeah.
And I got $5 on me, I can go pick up three of those and I'm good for the entire day and night.
I love it.
That's one of my favorites.
Pipe and Slippers is a porter out of Nod Hill as well, right?
I believe they just canned that.
Yeah, they canned it. I had several of them. Delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And I had the Terrain from Nod Hill as well.
There's a stout that I like that is a very secret stash. Secret Stash, it's by Finch's. They're out of Chicago as well, and they can it now. And it's a lower alcohol stout, but it still has that. It still has that nice feel. It's got, you know, the funky artwork like the majority of Finch's stuff does.
Yeah.
But it is a. I want to say it's 5%.
Yeah.
full-bodied for a 5%, light enough to throw back a couple and not be out of your mind.
Now, what's the main difference between a stout and a porter? What separates them? Okay, it's the type
one's
of yeast.
One's a lager yeast and one's an ale yeast.
Oh, interesting. That's it. That's the only difference.
That is your primary.
And does that lead
difference.
To a different kind of flavor?
Mouthfeel.
It leads
well,
to
think about it. If you drink a lager, we've had this conversation before, like going to school in Pennsylvania, yep. I saw more Yingling than I could care to ever look at again. And it's funny because when we were in college, Yingling was like the high-end mm-hmm. beer compared to your Natty Ice.
That's right.
But a lager, like Brooklyn Lager, great lager,
yep.
withstands the test of time as far as the craft goes. People yep. still flock to buy Brooklyn Lager. It's a great beer, but if I have more than two of them, I'm tasting it on my tongue for the rest of the night.
Yes,
like there's just that, it's a stickier feel. That's yeah. the best way I can describe it. Again, this is my, for me.
Yeah.
For me, it's a stickier ale yeast for whatever reason. I think is a smoother, it's cleaner, it's in and out. If you get a super hopped ale, you're gonna taste the hops all night regardless. Yeah. But you can have a very mildly hopped, you know, lager and just that stuck like the yeah. flavor of lager never leaves you.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So you'll get that with porter as well.
Got it.
So you can have a thin porter that's sticky. Versus,
still hangs around.
Versus a heavy stout that's just keep it coming. But that's, I was going to say, out of my winter beer go-tos,
yep.
I'm a big Black Boss Porter fan, and this Finch's Secret Stash is a great, like I said, on the lower alcohol side, I would drink that stout out of the can.
Yeah.
Give you an idea. That's yeah. that's that kind of stout. It's an easy drinker, it's great flavor, and it doesn't shy away from the flavors of a stout, but it also, it doesn't mess you up.
And a Guinness would be considered a stout as well.
A Guinness is a stout. And Guinness is the funny part about Guinness is so many people are like, the Guinness, it's like a meal. It's like,
it really isn't, right?
Guinness
I was
is,
always under the assumption it had like a super high calorie count. Like it was like, you know, eating a loaf of bread. But it's one of the lower, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but it's one of the lower calorie count
yeah.
beers.
I mean, but if you think about it, you know, I think a lot of people look at that signature head that gets created when you get a Guinness poured
yeah.
out of that nitrogen tap.
Yeah.
And they look at that never-ending, forever-lasting, you know, quarter inch of foam that just sits there perfectly.
Yeah.
And they associate the whole beer with that foam. And it's almost like, oh, it looks like a little bit of cream up there. You know, like,
yeah.
whatever it is, the association, I think, with that beer has made it such that people have created this idea that it's like this.
Yeah.
It's like drinking hot chocolate.
Right.
Like and it's not. That's a beer you can drink several of, or at least I can. And it's not like I'm full.
Yeah.
I get more full off of a double IPA than I would off a Guinness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's definitely one to check out, though. The Secret Stash is a great, it's a great, great beer.
Nice. I like it.
I'm trying to think here of other porters now. So that's the one thing about this time of year to come back to. Oh, Sierra Nevada does make a good porter. I'm forgetting a whole bunch of them here. You have the vanilla porter. That's by Breckenridge. They make a great vanilla porter.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing kind of some of the local breweries, what they're going to come out with. Right, or
this
maybe
time
they
of year.
Already have. It could be interesting to see. most of this stuff's going to be on tap, right? So you actually have to go to the brewery to drink them.
You hope they will, and in the scene that they're in and what's hot in the market,
yeah,
it's still dominated by IPAs.
Yeah, so even during this time of the year, people are going to want to drink their IPAs.
Yeah. I mean, this time of year, to bring it full circle back to the original thing we were talking about here is, I think that for me this time of year is a stout porter time. I think a lot of people like that.
Yep.
I think it's easy. The easiest beers to make are IPAs.
Yeah.
From my experience.
Yeah.
So I think that to go out and try to continuously be coming out with new beers on a porter or stout avenue is harder than challenge. Just popping out IPA after IPA.
Right. Hazy IPAs.
So I find that if I'm going to buy beers this time of year in that avenue, I'm probably going to the store, not a brewery. I'll go sip one at the brewery.
Right.
But I'm probably not buying a four pack unless, you know, I'll try it. If I take a sip, if I have one at the brewery and I like it, I might buy it.
Right.
But I'm going to go to a store where I know I can grab Founder's Breakfast or you know, whatever it is.
Is the challenge too that a lot of these, and maybe it's more true with porters than stouts, that they're served in the larger bottles where it's not something you can just pop open and drink on your own, but it might be something that you're going to share?
Like the Bombers?
Yeah.
Like that one up there, CBS. I don't know. I feel like you don't see a lot of beers in bottles that size that are lower alcohol.
Right.
And I think that goes back to the whole concept that we've talked about before about drinking in community.
Yeah.
And making it an experience versus just having a beer.
Yeah.
I've never seen a beer short of like a sour, you know, it's not like you're going to go find a session IPA in a Bomber. It just doesn't happen. You'll find a double IPA that's like 10-12%. You'll find a breakfast or a bourbon barrel stout or what have you. And you'll even find just an imperial stout. And I think the whole point of that, I like to think in our tainted world we live in, that those beers are still made at that size with the intention of
sharing,
of drinking it with others.
Yeah, being with other people. It's more of a social experience.
And I think that with that mindset to then make that beer in a 12-ounce bottle, it's not nearly as easy to split amongst several as it is to split a 22.
Right. I love it.
So
good stuff. Well, we're gonna wrap it up. We'll wrap up the show for tonight, but we really enjoy kind of sharing some of these thoughts around what we're drinking, some of the beer news. So like we said, send us your feedback. If there are topics you'd like us to cover, themadhopper@gmail.com. That's mad with two D's, themadhopper@gmail.com. And we look forward to bringing you another show next week.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to try to stay on top of the weekly thing, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.